Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Luke chapter 24 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Luke 24, beginning at verse number 45 down to 49. I'll read just a little portion here and then I'll let you be seated. I've got lots of verses tonight. I'll get into my topic here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. If anybody went last year to the Connecticut Impact, it rained last year's tent meeting. People still had a good time, but everybody got soaking wet. So, no tent meeting, as Sister Greeley already said, which means we're not sending up tomorrow. So those who had volunteered 3 weeks down the road will be asking you again to volunteer. 28th, so I guess 26th, the Thursday before, again, will be, I presume, going to be the setup time. So more to come in the next 3 weeks. Luke chapter 24, verse number 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Let me pause there just for a moment. The disciples have been with Jesus 3.5 years. Long time. Living with him, teaching with him, preaching with him. They were everything. They were living their lives with him. And then this verse says, after all that took place, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That gives me hope for anybody. Amen. Even if they've been around religion for a long, long time, God can give us understanding of the scripture. Amen. Even after so much has happened. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. He was foreshadowing, if you will. He was telling ahead of time, God is going to pour out his Spirit. Amen. My topic today is a precursor, if you will, to Pentecost Sunday, which is Sunday. Amen. It's receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. God, it is, Lord, your will, your plan. Lord, we know by the Word of God, Lord, that it is your purpose, Lord, that people would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's your plan, Lord. It's your Word. It's your promise. Lord, it's we that need to receive it. It's we, Lord, the people that are here. The people that will hear the word, the people that will believe, Lord, that will receive this promise. I thank you, Lord, for it. What a precious gift it is. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, I'm looking around, and I don't think this is new to anybody that's here right now. I think everybody here knows about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But let me say this as well. God can bring every one of us, me, you, each of us, to a new place in Him. Amen. Every one of us, God can use in a spectacular manner. Amen. In a wonderful way, if you will. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's God's will that people would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see it over and over again in the Bible. I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures about it. I'm going to, in between these scriptures that I'm going to read, I'm going to make some comments that are particular to our lives, to this local assembly. Amen. And I'm going to ask you to be praying between now and Sunday that God just fulfill your word. Just do what you said. Amen. Let your spirit, Lord, be first and foremost. Lord, have your way in our midst. Amen. More reading on the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2. Of course, you know this verse, 37 to 39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Man, that's a great question. It's a question that really should be asked by every single person. Everybody needs to ask that question. What do I got to do to be saved? Amen. I hope everybody would ask that question. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39 is awesome for the promise. Someone say promise. This is a promise from God. Amen. God cannot lie. It's true because he said it. Amen. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's not changing his mind. This is the plan of salvation. It is how God wants to save people. It is the plan in the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 10, another example, beginning to read at 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. While the preaching was going on, people received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they of the circumcision, the people that have been around a long time, you know, the Jews that were present that already had a religious experience, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Man, I hope God astonishes some church people. Praise. That was amazing. Let the church people's eyes get real big. Because God's doing something really wonderful. Because God is doing miracles. Because God is saving people. Wow, did you see that? I don't know, there's been a whole bunch of times in my life where my eyes got big and I got, woohoo, man, did you see that? They of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, there was a whole bunch of religious people that didn't believe. They didn't understand, more probably a better way to word it. They didn't understand that this, they didn't understand yet. They were going to understand it. But at this very moment, they didn't understand yet that God wanted to pour out his Spirit on Gentiles, on people they didn't think were going to get this gift. Praise the Lord. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They saw them receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The religious people were shocked. They were amazed. And God did wonderful stuff. And God was pouring out his Spirit on people that they didn't think were going to get the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes our flesh, even when you're a child of God, can get in the way of our spiritual thinking. Amen. Man, it don't matter who comes in that door. It don't matter what their history was or is. No matter how they had been living. I'll tell you what, God can do a miracle in anyone's life. Amen. I just brought to my mind just now, there's men of God, what's that prison, Haney? No. Was it Haney? Charles Mahaney. You know, he ended up doing prison work around the country and having great success. And he was an evangelist for many years. And God used him in spectacular ways. But, man, he lived in a gutter. Man, he was a drunk. He was terrible before Christ. And then God changed him. God brought him out. And God brought him up. And God did a miraculous work. Amen. Praise the Lord. What God did in my life. I mean, I know what my past was. A lot of people who don't know me very well don't know my past. But I'm telling you, God did a miracle in my life. Amen. God did a miracle in other people's lives right here today. Amen. He's still wanting to do miracles in people's lives. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 to 6. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So these disciples of John the Baptist, they already knew about religion. They had already repented. They had a walk with God. They were religious already. There's a lot of people just like that in our world today. There's a lot of people who have a respect and a relationship with God. Maybe they go to church on a regular basis. Maybe they have had a walk with God for a long time. They've been a quote-unquote Christian believer for years. But they haven't yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. Right away, if they haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, well then, how were you baptized? Amen. It's a legitimate question. The person that, in our local assembly, I hope it's not just the ministry, it's not just the preachers that are going to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need a church full of sensitive people. Amen. People who will be sensitive enough to know that this person, you know, you can tell sometimes by the expression on their face, you know, by the look in their eye. Sometimes if you're close enough or you know that person, maybe they'll speak something to you that lets you know that they hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost or they want to know more. What is that going on? Amen. If they're asking questions, tell you what, they want to know. They need someone to understand, that does understand it, to give them an explanation. Oh, that brother is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost right now. God is moving upon his life. God is filling him with his Spirit. Amen. We need a church full of people that will be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. God wants to use you. Maybe it's this Sunday, and maybe it's next week. Maybe it's somewhere else. But we need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. This promise, the Holy Ghost, is to every hungry believer. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not, sometimes some of them get it. No, God wants every single believer, all believers in Jesus Christ, all believers in Jesus Christ, God wants them to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. And not just Jesus' name, apostolic one, God, apostolics. I'm telling you, God wants to give every single Jesus-believing person the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. The evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's the same for every single person. Oh, I know I got God in my life because I felt Him when I prayed. That's true. I'm sure you did feel God when you prayed. I have full regard and respect for that spiritual experience. Oh, but there's more. Oh, there's more than what you've found so far. There's more to be had. God has got more for you. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 3, verse 5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's so true. Man, you got to have this experience. You got to have the experience of being born again, of the water, being baptized in Jesus' name, of the Spirit being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is an experience that every single Jesus-believing person needs to have in their life. Amen. There is a great spiritual awakening and a revival of the receiving of the Holy Ghost by people in many different churches. Amen. Yet, questions still remain. I've had people ask the question, is the Holy Ghost essential to salvation? How does one receive the Holy Ghost? What is the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit? Or is this experience for all believers today? You probably know the answer to all those questions, but those are questions in people's minds that they might not even feel at liberty to ask. If they have a religious experience or a tradition of faith that is other than this local assembly's, the Bible's depicted salvation plan, they may not know the answers to those questions. The Holy Ghost is for all believers, as Peter stated at Pentecost. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God wants every person to have this experience. Amen. The Holy Spirit provides the power to live an overcoming, victorious Christian life with joy. That Bible study Sister Greeley was talking about, Irvin Baxter, you know, he's lived his life and on to his reward. But I have to agree with him. in good times, in bad times, and the ups and in the downs and ins and outs and the turmoils of life. God's got it in control. Amen. God's going to bring me through. Amen. And if I die, it's gain. Amen. I go to be with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to fret and worry. That's not Scott. That is not God's plan. Amen. We receive this power to overcome. Overcome the devil. Overcome sin. Overcome the world. Overcome things that happen to us. Circumstances that come upon us. God makes us to become to be an overcomer. To overcome the limitations of your physical flesh. To overcome sickness and disease. To overcome carnality. And power to be a witness. Amen. You might think, well, I don't know how to explain. God, if you've got the Holy Ghost, I say to you, you do have the power to be a witness. God gave it to you when He filled you with the Holy Ghost. It's in the Bible. Maybe you don't know you got the power, but you do. It's in the Word. Praise the Lord. Our lives are transformed by a supernatural experience of the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Amen. Question was asked, what must we do? This was asked by Peter on the day of Pentecost. We are not saved by works, but by the grace of God. Amen. It's not because of how good I am, that's for sure. It is because how good He is. Amen. However, the Scriptures plainly teach that there are things we must do. Amen. James chapter 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, we have to believe. We got to believe there is a God. His name is Jesus Christ. And He's the Savior of my soul. Yeah, we got to believe. We got to have faith. When faith is generated in our hearts, it will force us to act on that faith. Moving us to obey the Word of God. Amen. God doesn't mean for us to stay the same as when we were the sinner. Amen. God doesn't want us to live like that. God doesn't want us to think like that. God wants to give us power over those things and to be a witness. When we have this experience, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and I'm talking to people tonight who know what I'm talking about. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. When we believe on Jesus, okay, the first step to salvation is the step of faith. Yeah, we got to believe God. Paul, speaking to the Philippian jailer, explained how he could be saved. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul, crying with loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He didn't say, you're saved right now automatically. Ye shall be. I tell you, when we believe on Jesus Christ, we will do what He says. We will believe His word. Amen. There's no salvation outside of the cross of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. Jesus asked His disciples, Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 14. And He said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, if you will. Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. That truly is who Jesus is. Amen. He is the anointed one, the Christ, the Savior of our lives. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's not salvation in any other name. It's only in the name of Jesus. Amen. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we are to be saved, we must start with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. God does not share His glory with anybody. He doesn't share. He's not a triune Godhead. No, He's a singular God. There is only one. It's only one God. His name is Jesus. Amen. He does not share His glory. He is all by Himself. God alone. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear what the word of God has to say. People have to hear what the word of God says. That's why preaching is so spectacular. Preaching is so powerful. Amen. When we preach the word of God, amen, and people hear that word, God can change their lives. Amen. Repentance is absolutely necessary. In Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, everywhere, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. It's God's plan. Has been, is now, and will be the only plan of salvation. Amen. Let me... I looked up in, according to this Bible lexicon, Billinger lexicon states that repentance is to change one's mind and purpose. This change is always for the better and denotes a change of moral thought and reflection, not merely to repent of, nor to forsake sins, but to change one's mind and appreciations or apprehensions regarding it. Another definition, to come to right understanding. Another definition, to have a genuine change of heart and life from worse to better. I'll tell you what, every one of us, every person needs to have a repentant experience. Amen. We've got to change our thinking. To repent is to change one's mind and purpose. It's to be remorseful for the sin that has ruled one's heart. Repentance is to genuinely change our attitude towards sin and want righteousness to reign in our hearts. It is the essence of the publican's prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse number 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, the purpose for which Jesus died was that the world through him might be saved from sin. Amen. It's God's plan. We are sinners and enemies of Christ's cross. We need a Savior. We should repent, make a change, forsake our sinful acts, and commit our lives to God. Godly sorrow brings true repentance. Repentance is real. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to change us. Amen. To completely, thoroughly repent is to it's important to one's walk with God. This is the foundation of which is our, it's the foundation on which our experience with God is built. Repentance is being honest with God and self. It is confessing one's guilt and asking God for mercy. Amen. A turning around. Amen. I keep bringing to mind that when the guards walking in front of the Buckingham Palace in London, they repent, and they just turn around, and then they walk the other way. I mean, that's what we got to do. We're walking our worldly, carnal life, and then we repent. I mean, we got to turn around and walk toward God. We got to walk a new way, a new direction. God wants to change the direction of our life. Praise the Lord. Repentance, of course, is essential. Baptism is essential. Remission means to dismiss, discharge, set free for the remission of sins. Dismiss, discharge, set free can only be accomplished through the name of Jesus. Amen. You're not set free by the name of the Father or using a term called Son or even invoking a spirit. No, it's only in the name of Jesus that true remission. Because it's only Jesus that died for our sins. That's the only way that our sins can be remitted. That our sins can be dismissed. That our sins can be discharged. That we can be set free from sin is in the name of Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told the Jews to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, forgiveness, removal of sins. said that in Acts 2:38. Jesus had stated that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That was Luke 24:47. Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know what? I pray, I hope, I'm looking for people in our church who will be Holy Ghost filled and able to be a witness. People full of the Holy Ghost that have an anointing from God to be a witness. What are you waiting for? God's here right now. You can feel His presence. God is moving in this service. You could be baptized and have your sins washed away. Sometimes you got to give them a good hard nudge. Not literally, but spiritually. Give them. Help them out. And give them a nudge. Amen. It's time right now. Praise the Lord. At repentance, our sins are confessed and our commitment is made to live. We make a commitment to live for God. However, our record of sins is not removed when we repent. It's removed when we're baptized. The record of our sins is only removed when we are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then they are no longer remembered by God against us. Amen. If you were to pray and ask God about a sin before you were baptized, God don't remember that sin. He chose by His word to cover that sin. Amen. To dismiss, to discharge, to set free from that sin. That's what baptism does. Man, that's awesome stuff. Wow. If I wasn't baptized, I'd want to get baptized tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Faith. Faith for the promise. The promise of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We got to believe that God does keep His word. And that He means what His word says. What He said in His word is what it really means. Amen. It is God's plan for every believer to receive the Holy Ghost. Absolutely, without any doubt, by the authority of the Word of God, I declare it right now. God wants every person to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. To receive the Holy Ghost is a normal or is as normal as repenting and being baptized. It is a supernatural experience that cannot be explained to a carnal man. You got to have a spiritual faith to understand the Holy Ghost. The carnal man might say, well, you mean a dead person's spirit is going to jump on me? You know, that would sound kind of strange, wouldn't it? But in the spirit, it's the power and the presence of God that wants to guide and enter in your life. You're really saying the same thing. But one is a carnal thinking and one is a spiritual thinking. Amen. It is God's promise to all believers. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are, right here, Uncasville, Connecticut, we are that place that is afar off. We're a long way from Jerusalem. Amen. It's on the other side of the big sphere, long way away. But God's Spirit is poured out right here in this place. Amen. People right here in this church receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. The Old Testament prophet was foretelling it. It did and has and is coming to pass. Amen. Joel prophesied the outpouring of the Spirit. Peter quoted that verse in Scripture in his sermon at Pentecost. These are the last days, and God is pouring out His Spirit upon all. Someone say all. All flesh. I tell you, everyone, God wants them to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those who have faith in God's promise shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is for all who will believe and receive. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus with his brethren. Everybody. Tarrying in prayer. This is going to be a little bit of teaching right here. I've been going through a lot of scripture, but we do a little bit of teaching here. Tarrying is prayer. Tarrying in prayer is certainly one of the sure ways to receive the Holy Ghost. Many find it necessary to tarry in prayer for proper preparation of themselves before receiving the Holy Ghost. God will fill the hungry seeker when he meets the right conditions that God requires. We sometimes allow obstacles, we being humans, carnal beings, we that are in the flesh, sometimes allow obstacles to stand in our way. One obstacle, number one, doubt. People come into this faith, into this environment, into this preaching, into this presence of God that they may not be familiar with. It's something supernatural going on. It's something spectacular that is happening. And they might not be used to it. Might cause some doubt to enter their mind. Some people believe that the Holy Ghost is not for us today. I've had some people tell me that. It's too late. Amen. And I received the Holy Ghost a long time ago. More than 50 years ago. Some people have said that, though. The Holy Ghost not is not for us today, or possibly it is only for certain people, or was only for a certain time, or that there is doubt in their mind concerning the Holy Ghost today. That's a problem. Another problem is fear. There are those who fear the results of receiving the Holy Ghost. Fear of losing their family, losing their husband or their wife or their job. They have a fear of not being able to live a Christian life. Maybe they're not capable of doing it. The enemy magnifies many fears in the carnal mind, often causing that person, because of that fear, to reject God. These fears come from the devil, not from God. God's not going to put fear on them. I'm pointing these things out so that we, as believers, Holy Ghost-filled believers in God, can recognize when the Holy Ghost talks to you and you understand what's going on in that person's mind, then God will give you anointing to help them get over that problem. Every one of these things is problems. Doubting is a problem. Fear is a problem. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's God's plan. Doubt, fear are problems. Pride is a problem. Some are unable to humble themselves and yield to the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, if you will. Fear of embarrassment has hindered other people. God's Spirit will never cause anyone to behave in an embarrassing manner. It's not God's intent to embarrass you. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you power over that doubt, over that fear, over that pride. Another problem is worldliness. A love for worldly things has been a problem for many. They have difficulty in giving up sinful and worldly habits. They may have been living like that for a long time. The Holy Ghost requires that we cleanse the temple of our body in which God is to dwell. Amen. God wants to change us, always for the better. Amen. And always by His Spirit. Amen. But worldliness is a problem. Before receiving the Holy Ghost, we must learn to bring our human will into obedience to the will of God. If it's a tug of war between the spirit and the flesh, you got to let God win. You got to give in. You know, just go with God, okay? We must yield to the Spirit of God and to give over to Him all those fears, proud, fear, worldliness, whatever the problem is. And there's probably 100 more problems, right, that people have. People have all kinds of problems. But whatever the problem is, if you just give it to Jesus, He will solve your problem. Amen. We need not tarry long. It doesn't have to be years till you get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to finish all four segments of elements to get the Holy Ghost. And you can get the Holy Ghost the very first time you come. The very first service. And you don't have to wait for the preaching to get done. Amen. You can get the Holy Ghost when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Amen. We don't have to tarry a long time. You don't have to wait a long time. God is willing to fill every believer right then when they're in God's presence. Here's a key for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. People in the day of Pentecost, they worshiped. Someone say worship. Worship is a key. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You got to keep coming to church. You got to keep worshiping the Lord. It's a part of the plan of God to keep us saved. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost in an atmosphere charged with people worshiping and praising God. Your worship, your praising of the Lord is going to set the atmosphere for people to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you think, well, what does it matter if I praise the Lord? I've already got the Holy Ghost. Well, it matters in the kingdom of God. It's God's plan that each of us would worship. We are setting the atmosphere, the stage. Worship is contagious. When you are in a service where it is just a presence of worship and praising and magnifying God, you know what? That encourages the new guy to, well, yeah, that feels kind of normal. I think I'll raise my hand too. What he's praying out loud. Okay, Lord, would you help me? You know, he don't know how to pray. But it is encouraging that person when you pray. It's encouraging that person to worship when you worship. Praise the Lord. The worship was so intense in the book of Acts that at times the worshipers were completely controlled by the Spirit. They looked like to be drunk men. But they were only drunk on the spiritual wine of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God is able to pour out the Holy Ghost when people lose themselves in the presence of God. Worship is a key. If you really want your buddy to get the Holy Ghost, don't hold back and be conservative and, you know, oh, I don't want to embarrass my friend by worshiping the Lord. You know what? You need to go ahead and worship the Lord as God would lead you. Go ahead and praise God. You're going to be a better influence to that person when you're worshiping than when you're sulking and watching him out of the side of your eye. Man, he don't want you looking at him anyway. Worship. Put your mind on God. Worship the Lord. And that will help your friend. Praise the Lord. Laying on of the hands, Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Acts 8:17. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. It's biblical to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. The revival at Samaria was climaxed by Peter and John laying hands on the believers for them to receive the Holy Ghost. After John's disciples at Ephesus were baptized in Jesus' name. Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, it also says in the Bible that while he was yet preaching the word, they were receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you don't have to receive the Holy Ghost when someone lays their hands on you. But it is biblical to lay hands on people and they receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. God honors faith. And faith is often released when somebody is laying their hands on them. Amen. And they receive the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost when they heard the word. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Amen. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's the same sign as on the day of Pentecost. It's the same sign in every instance in the Bible where the Holy Ghost is poured out. They will speak with other tongues. Amen. The initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost was speaking with other tongues. It was the one common sign displayed in all accounts of the infilling of the Spirit throughout the book of Acts. Every time it happened the same way. It still happens the same way today. 120 believers, about 120 believers, spoke in a new tongue as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. Physical evidence. The householder of Cornelius received the Holy Ghost and the physical sign was speaking with tongues. It was the sign to which Peter called their attention. Acts 10:45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. I think the religious people. I don't know about you, but that is great to me. Amen. When the religious people, wow! I'm hoping the believers say, wow, God is doing something awesome. When God heals the cripple, when God opens the ears, when God opens the eyes, when God fills with the Holy Ghost, they're all miracles. They're all supernatural. Amen. They have the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Multitudes are receiving the Holy Ghost in this, in our day. There's more people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. In fact, I believe this to be true. There is more people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in my lifetime than in all the days recorded in the Bible. Amen. There's more people speaking in tongues today in this world than there has ever been on the face of the earth, ever. Amen. God is pouring out His Spirit. God wants people to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stand with me. I'm closing with this last verse. Acts 1:8. In fact, why don't you read this last verse with me out loud? Look at the screen and read it with me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God wants us to be a witness. Would you love Him with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. I praise You. Wonderful living God, I adore You. Thank You for all that You're doing, for the promises in Your Word. Lord, for the power, Lord, of the Holy Ghost to come upon us. Lord, to change us, to make us, to help us, to that we will be a witness for you, a witness of your word, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your so great salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Use us, God, for your purpose. Help us, Lord, to do it in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.